And I'm trying to keep it concise and fun.
Because
loans are fun. Student loans,
let's make them fun.
Oh, dear. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am with my co-host, Chris Roby.
Hey, Carly.
Hey, Chris. Now, I'm excited to be here, but our first topic is not maybe the most joyful, happy.
Yeah, just don't bring the room too much up.
Yes, exactly. I want to start this podcast off excited, but then I'm about to bring it way down.
Yeah, it's just, this overall is probably a heavier episode just in general. This is a lot of heavier topics, and you know, starting with this topic of grief. But why are we starting with grief?
Right. So today, when this episode is releasing, is actually National Grief Awareness Day.
Okay.
And so I feel like it's something worth talking about. I feel like we've mentioned grief and tips and other things throughout the podcast, but I wanted to talk about it today on its own and just briefly, like some things with grief and especially what we see with teenagers. And one of the first things I want you to keep in mind is that grief is okay and it's totally normal.
And it looks different than you think a lot of times, yes. Right? So grief is processing any kind of loss. And so we picture it in almost movie terms when there's a death or, you know, a huge loss, but it could be a change of circumstance or a major disappointment or something unexpected happens that kind of changes everything. There is a process, no matter if it's healthy or not, that we all go through
right. When
there's something that we need to process and grieve. Question is, are we doing it in a healthy way?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what's so interesting for grief in teenagers is teenagers are already trying to figure out so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add grief on top of it, like you said, whether that's a loss of a loved one or a loss of expectation or an injury, it could be a lot of different things that they're grieving. It is probably going to look different than an adult would grieve, and that's totally fine.
And everyone grieves differently, right? And there's really, I don't think there's a right way to do that. But I think this being a grief awareness day, being aware, maybe if your teenager's just a little bit off, or maybe even be aware of it in yourself. Maybe we talk about that a lot. If we're caring for teenagers and believing that they're not a problem to be solved, let's kind of be aware of where we are on things. I know just on a personal level, with the whole COVID shutdown, when everything kind of, like, I remember taking that really hard, like just not dealing with it very well. I even went to counseling about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my counselor stopped me down. She goes, Chris, you're grieving right now. And I'm like,
Interesting.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. And you're absolutely right. I was dealing with realizing that nothing's going to be the same, you know, in good ways and bad ways. Right. And, you know, you can't go through a major disruption like that without processing the things that you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really helpful when that happened. And if you're feeling a little bit off, maybe it's not like heavy capital G grief, right?
Mm.
But maybe there is something that you need to talk out or process yourself before you see it in your student.
Right. And then also, grief is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that, I don't know, we can overlook of like, hey, it's been a few months. Let's get over this. Let's pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. And it's ongoing.
Right.
And it's going to look different at different stages and at different times, as we've talked about. But just remember not to rush your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Grief isn't something that ends. Grief isn't something that, like, let's just get to this point and then everything's going to be better and it's going to go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ongoing, and even setting that expectation for them too so that they can have grace for themselves.
And I think we'd be remiss not to shout out a previous episode with Beverly Ross, who has her own grief story that really informs even what she does in this world. And so recommend, you know, we'll link that in the show notes and go back and listen to that. Beverly has some really, really great tip. It's a great episode.
Yeah, she is the expert on this.
She is.
For sure. But we also wanted to give a few tips today so that you can leave and feel like you have something around grief. And my first tip is just to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people get really uncomfortable around grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just like, it's just better if I don't say anything, or I'm not sure what to say, so I'll stay silent. Mm-hmm. No, show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's half the battle.
And also choose your words wisely. And if you have a hard time with them, no words is okay too.
Yeah.
Just I'm here and I'm here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pain that can be inflicted by trying to help them, tell them to feel better, or some kind of a anecdote that's just not helpful. There's some really cringy things if you Google mm-hmm. dumb people things have said to grieving people. Just know there's really not. And even if you've gone through a loss before, every loss is so unique.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of advice to be given, especially when they're right in the thick of it.
I was going to say, unless they specifically ask you for mm-hmm. advice, try not to give advice. Try not to explain the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you're trying to see things on the bright side, that might not be helpful for them right now.
Right.
So even just, I'm so sorry this is happening to you, can be more powerful than you trying to give advice. Absolutely. In the moment.
We encourage you to keep the date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it is a loss of a loved one or just a major change of circumstance, if you're involved with the processing of that grief, just put a date in your phone, a month out, you know, 2 months out, 6 weeks out, whatever it is. And then obviously the annual loss mm-hmm. To be remembering, hey, just checking in on you. I know these anniversaries, or maybe it's major holidays or any of those kinds of things that you can go back and just check in, send a text, say, I'm thinking about you today. Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference.
I feel like Dana Gage talked about that on mm-hmm. another podcast episode, and about how someone sent her something every month.
Mm.
But then also on when she lost her son, things like when he would have graduated high school,
mm-hmm.
that someone remembered that years later, 4 years later,
mm.
remembered that and said, I know this is going to be hard for you, so I'm gonna remember.
Mm.
And that can mean a lot as well. And then finally, be a good listener. Like we said, you don't have to have the right words, but being willing to show up and just say, hey, I'm here to listen when you're ready to talk. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to say, you're not going to scare me off. And that going back to always being shockproof
mm-hmm.
of even if they're angry, even if they're super upset, just sit there and be a good listener.
There's our great executive admin, Holly, here at Teen Life, the term she uses to be in the ugly.
mm-hmm.
And grief looks ugly, and it's what it is, and you can't correct it. You just listen mm-hmm. and be there and be willing to see what you see. And like you said, don't get scared off. And that is such a huge deal in the middle of something so difficult.
Right. So today on National Grief Awareness Day, or even if you're listening to this after, we're going to encourage you, think of someone who's grieving
mm-hmm.
and maybe reach out to them and just let them know that you're thinking about them today. For the trend this week, Chris, let's go a little lighter. Just kidding. We want to talk about banned books.
This is a big topic right now. And as we get into this, we want to start out by acknowledging that people have really strong feelings about this.
Yes.
And we might even as well. But that's not why we're here.
Yeah.
What we're here for is to talk about what's happening and how it affects teenagers, how you get better conversations with your student mm-hmm. around this topic.
Exactly. So, no, if you have strong feelings about this, this is not going to be a podcast that's going to try to change your mind or push our agenda by any means.
Yeah, we're not trying to trigger anyone here.
No, we're not. But we do want to talk about, if you're like, what is going on? How do books get banned? We're here to kind of talk through that and what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, banned books aren't new.
Mm-hmm.
These books have been banned for a very long time. And I'll even in a little bit kind of talk about some of the classic books that were banned that now our students read mm-hmm. in English class every year.
Interesting.
But it is on the rise. And so just some quick terms, when a book is successfully banned, that means a book has been removed from the school curriculum or from public libraries because a person or group has objected to its content. However, an attempt to get a book removed is called a challenge.
Okay.
And so that's a lot of what I feel like we're actually hearing about right now, is not actually books that are being banned, but books that are being challenged.
Okay.
And so usually that means they're removed from the shelves to make a decision, but then they might come back.
Interesting.
They're not like officially banned.
That's good to keep in mind, because it does feel like, wow, they're just going to pull all the books off.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the process here?
Right.
You know, who made that decision? Who makes the decision to put them back? But they're basically, if they're on challenge, they're removed.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
And so, and I'm pretty sure in most cases. And so there are a lot of challenges going on. Now, when it comes to public schools and libraries, how this decision is made is most of them have boards that are made up of elected officials or people appointed by elected officials, and they have the power to remove books from schools and libraries they oversee.
Hmm.
So if we're talking in a school context, it's probably the school board,
right,
who is reading the challenges and then making decisions, and then they'll be the ones to either take the books off or put them back.
Gotcha.
Now, what's so interesting, the American Library Association keeps track of the challenges and bans across the country. And this data is like really kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And really, maybe not scary, but just alarming of, like I said, banned books have been around for forever. But the ALA recorded 729 book challenges targeting 1,597 titles in 2021.
Hmm.
That's double 2020's figures.
Wow.
So those are a bunch of numbers, but just know between 2020 and 2021, it doubled how many books were being challenged.
Wow.
Which is a lot. And so that is a record. We still don't have data for 2022. So a lot of this is kind of still last year, but we live in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have the title honor award. I don't know. For having the state with the most banned books.
Hmm.
So the state of Texas, at least by this last number, had 713 books that were banned in schools or libraries.
Yeah, and we even have some local school districts that are making national headlines because of this. And this is part of why we're bringing this up, because, you know, at least in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we are, it's a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, it is.
And so you have to think, obviously, if this is going on, our students are watching, for sure, and then probably talking about it.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, what is being banned?
Okay, I do.
So many challenge books focus on communities of color, the history of racism in America, LGBTQ characters, and one stat said 1 in 3 books restricted by school districts in the past year featured LGBTQ themes or characters.
Okay.
So that's a big one. I'll post all these links, but there was an infographic that the American Library Association put out, and they put out the words that are used in censorship reports. And so, you know, those like word maps where they're bigger the more they've been used,
right,
and smaller. So I kind of took the big words that are being used when people are challenging books: sexually explicit, LGBTQIA, critical race theory, obscene, woke, profanity, and indoctrinating kids.
Okay.
Were some of the biggest reasons that people were citing for challenging these books.
So these terms exist within the book itself or the theme of the book?
The theme of the book.
Okay.
So they would be saying, like, this book is sexually explicit, so you need to take it off the shelf.
Gotcha.
Now, I mentioned this earlier, but I feel like I said, this is something that is making headlines. And I feel like I always knew that there were banned books, but I looked up and there's a whole list, but classics that used to be banned include To Kill a Mockingbird, The Color Purple, The Lord of the Flies, A Separate Piece. Of those 4 books, 3 of them I read in high school.
Yeah,
as part of a curriculum.
Yeah. So were they banned after or before?
Before. So these were ones that, like, when they were coming out, were banned by schools.
Gotcha.
And then they've come back. I know, like, Barnes & Noble has, the last time I was in there, had a banned book section. So you can go and shop the books that are being banned other places, and they, like, display them.
Interesting.
Chris, let's talk about what can we do
from
this for our teenagers. And I think the first thing is know what your teens are reading.
Right.
Both assigned reading and reading for fun.
Yeah.
And have conversations about it.
Yeah. Because they're a teenager, when told you can't do this, or this is no longer available, we'll seek it out. Right? Why is this being banned? Right? And so oftentimes things like this can have the opposite effect than what we're looking for. Right? And so know if they're perusing what are these banned books, likely they're finding a way to get them and read them. And that's great that's a great place to have a conversation of like, hey, have you actually read this book? Or are your friends, what are they saying about it?
Yeah. And that's why I think even asking your teenager, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's going on after school. What do you think of the banned books? What are you hearing at school?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read any of them? Have your friends read any of them, like you said? And kind of having conversation consistently about what they're reading and what's going in their mind. And like I said, that should just be something across the board.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about books before on this podcast, and there's not a rating system.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a way necessarily to tell what's in the book. And so it's never a bad idea to have a conversation, especially if you have a reader in your house.
I think, too, kind of addressing some of the powerlessness this could bring up, because their decision is being made on behalf of other people in these mm-hmm. situations, right? Because
right.
anyone can request a book to be banned, right? And right. so there's a certain level of like, there being decisions being made on my behalf, whether I like them or not,
mm-hmm.
That can feel pretty hopeless for kids, depending on how they feel and think about a certain issue. But just to kind of address that and talk about how does the system work? Does mm-hmm. the system work on our behalf or on the behalf of other people? And what can we do about that? How do we feel about that?
Right. And I think that powerlessness really does play, because when I was doing research into this, lots of people were saying, well, just because it's banned at school doesn't mean you can't still get the book.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on your resources,
mm-hmm.
that's the joy of a library, is you don't have to pay for that.
Right.
And so for some of these students, they might not have access to a book like that
mm-hmm.
if they don't have it at their library.
That's a great point.
And so you're right. I think just having conversations with students about what does this mean for them and for their friends as well. And just to kind of bring attention to it, there is a Banned Books Week, and that runs September 26th through October 2nd. So that's coming up. But the theme this year is Books Unite Us, Censorship Divides Us.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that could also be a good week to have conversation with your student, because everyone else is having conversation as well.
Absolutely.
For the tip this week, Chris, once again, I'm bringing up a current event,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to stay neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about college loans.
Yeah.
Because this is a big thing in our country right now, because last week, Biden introduced a loan forgiveness plan.
Right.
And first of all, I just kind of want to talk about, what does that mean for your student?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have a student who just started college or who is considering college,
mm-hmm.
because there's lots of information out there about what it means for people who have finished college and have loans.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little harder for me, at least, to find the information of what it means for current students.
Yeah, and this topic of college loans hits most of us in some way, with the cost of college just in general. It's pretty hard to go without some kind of loan or mm-hmm. some kind of financial aid. And so I know this is part of my family story for sure,
mm-hmm.
And lots of families around that are my age. But for students going into college, understand the implications of what this is, whether we agree with the policy or not, is
right.
huge.
Yeah. So first of all, current students will qualify for loan forgiveness if their parents' income is below the cap required to qualify. So if you're a parent, you have a student who's currently a student, you can actually look into that, and mm-hmm. they can qualify for that.
It's $125,000, I believe, is the cap.
I think for yeah. families who file together, for parents who file together.
Right.
But loans must have originated before July 1st to qualify.
Okay.
So if you have a student who is starting next year, or if they got a loan after July 1st, they do not qualify.
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind. Now, the plan includes the loan forgiveness, but there also were bullet points. I'll post all the links if you want to read the whole thing, but it is wordy, and I'm trying to keep it concise and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because loans are student fun. Loans,
let's make them fun.
Oh, dear. But the plan is to make the student loan system more manageable for current and future borrowers. So one of the things they did is they're cutting monthly payments. So if you are doing it based on your income, it used to be, I think, 10%, and now it's 5%. So that will lower the monthly payment that students moving forward are okay. required to pay, which could be helpful. And then they also are fixing the broken public service loan forgiveness program.
Okay.
So that's like the program, I think if you're a teacher in certain schools, you can qualify for that, nonprofits, government workers.
I think maybe certain healthcare workers, but it's like 10 years or something like that, and it's forgiven or something like that. Yeah.
And so they are taking a look at that, because I think basically from what I read, it's difficult for people to even know what that means and get access to that. Mm. So they're trying to fix that moving forward. And then Biden also said he wants to protect future students and taxpayers by reducing the cost of college and holding schools accountable when they hike up prices.
Okay.
I don't know how you...
kind of blank stare over here, like, are we doing that? Yeah. But yeah, yeah. I understand the sentiment, and I also, with me having kids that are 6-7 years away from having this conversation, seeing the prices of college, mm-hmm. private and public, both, it's a little scary, for sure. And so you would want to have that conversation.
Exactly. And so kind of just to give some quick tips on loans. Number one, there's no expectation that they will continue to forgive future loans for future students. So I read something that said this could be dangerous for future students because they might take on more debt than they should, thinking, well, it'll just get forgiven. Mm. So what does it matter?
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case. So do your research into student loans, know what's expected, what payments will be, when payments will start. That was a big thing I know with my student loans. They start when you're in school. Mm-hmm. And so you can get out of school going, wait, I didn't think I had that many loans, because the payments, not the payments, but like interest starts accruing while you're in school.
Right.
The payments don't have to start till after, but have those conversations. My brother was way smarter about that and used tax returns and everything during college to pay for that. Now, another thing, maybe consider the return of investment, meaning college experience is great. I loved college and I went to a private university that cost a lot of money. However, if the degree won't pay for itself later on,
right,
maybe consider that.
Right, right, yeah. And if it's a super expensive college for, you know, the job you want but doesn't pay, it's a great conversation to have.
Yeah. And even if you're having, if you've got kids who are earlier in high school, start having conversations about, all right, let's think about what it will take to get scholarships to help pay for that. And then also consider federal versus private loans. Those are different. And what I read, I don't know, I'll be honest, I don't know a ton about loans, and I probably should have because I had a loan at one point, but they can carry, the private loans carry fewer protections than federal loans, and they tend to be more expensive. So when you're looking at loans, look at that too. Because I know like under this current plan, this is for federal loans, not for private loans. So if you have a private loan, you're not getting this money.
And you brought up a really good point there that when you're in college, especially if you're not having crucial conversations with your parents or a trusted adult, you just take on all the loans and you don't really ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Like you just know, hey, I'm ready to enroll and do this college thing, and this will get here when it gets here. I've even heard it said before, you know, the college loans are great because that's the one thing they can't take away from you, right? You can't take away an education, right? And so if you default on the loan someday, what are they going to do, right? Which is horribly
irresponsible.
But I've heard people say that before.
Yeah.
And it's a misunderstanding that this is money that you owe.
Yeah.
And or going to owe no matter what. And so just having those hard conversations about, and this is not like pro loan or against, you know, against the loan or whatever, anti-loan, but those are really important conversations to have because debt is real. And they will come for that debt because that's the agreement that you signed.
Now, our last tip for this is College Vine. I'll link it, is a website that connects you to admissions officers, current college students, peers, advisors, and it's a great resource if you're looking at colleges. So it can kind of help you with applications. It can help you find schools and even calculate your chances of getting in. But then they also have things like a financial aid calculator, college guides, GPA calculators, essay help. So this is a really cool thing if you have a student, even if they're a freshman, that they can start looking at this and getting ideas and help for college.
What a great resource. That is a wrap on our very heavy episode. Thanks for sticking with us. If you enjoyed this episode, we ask that you subscribe so this pops up in your feed every single week. follow us on social media. We have a great social media presence that has resources that go beyond this podcast. Mm-hmm. Review us on your favorite podcast app. Tell a friend. That's how we grow, is through referrals. And we're really glad that you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next week.